And if we allow a little bit of these problems to stay, a little unforgiveness, a little doubt, a little thievery, a little lying, a little gossiping, a little problem, then pretty soon it gets so buried. Every time we do it, it gets further and further buried that somehow needs some sort of a surgery to get well. And it hurts. God is not famous for using anesthetic, in case you were wondering. It's not his superpower. Sometimes he does, but I think we remember the event better if he does not. Although in his kindness, he does bail us out, I'm sure. Does that make sense to you? And I spoke of that whenever I did Sunday, about the fact that if we have these wounds and these terrors, then when somebody comes and needs something, we're going to present to them through our pain. We're going to present to them through our wound. We're going to present to them through our doubt and through our fear. And when they come upon us and maybe they're angry or something's wrong, we'll respond in not a loving way about that. We'll respond incorrectly through the lens of our own pain. And that's where these troubles come from. That's where you can't be effective in leadership. You can't be effective even as a Christian friend to somebody because you're always going to give the wrong answer because you're mad. Have you ever talked to somebody and when they're talking to you, you're thinking, yeah, that's really bad advice. I am not taking that advice. Sometimes it's like that. Well, other people might be doing that to you. If you're talking to them through a messed up brain and a broken up heart, you know, sometimes you can't do it. So that's why it's important to get well and to stay well. I want to talk to you for a minute about the reality versus anointing. Some of these things we have alluded to before. Jesus was not afraid to be different. That's something you need to remember. He was not afraid to be different. He went against the flow. He was conceived before his mother was married. Did you think nobody knew that? The whole town knew that. He was this child that was born in this terrible adversity that would appear to be perverse. And yet, he's going to be the Son of God. It's a rough beginning. Timothy, wonderful, you know, worker in the gospel. He was a mumser. He was a half-breed. And so he couldn't go in the temple because he was, you know, he wasn't a full Roman. He wasn't a full Jew. He was messed up, genealogy-wise. But Paul came and said, "You're my son in the faith. I'm going to help you and take you on." Elisha was plowing, but he was chosen. Elijah wasn't happy about bringing Elisha on. He was told to do it, and I think he understood he was losing his calling when he did it, because God said, "Go get Elisha, Mr. Person that hides in a cave, scared of a woman." But he did it anyway, and he got him. But what qualification did Elisha have? He was working on the farm. What qualification does anybody have? They're just loving the Lord. Look at Amos. He's a sycamore tree guy. He's a fig planter. God uses ordinary people to do fairly extraordinary things. But the only problem with that is people forget they have to rise above who they were to become who God's calling them to be. Maybe they had everything. They have to lose that thinking. Maybe they had nothing. They have to lose that thinking. Paul was persecuted. Timothy was persecuted. The disciples were all persecuted, especially John. So we look into these things, and you look at Jesus, and he was born into a bag of pre-persecution. That's how he was born. You think people let that go? They did not let that go. And even when he was in the temple and he was saying, "This Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel and set the captive free," and Jesus is having a conversation in his rightful position, And they're saying, shut up. You're the son of Joseph. What do you know? Well, your mother's over there. You're not tricking us. He had to fight for his position. By the world's opinion, he would not accomplish very much because of his upbringing, maybe, or because of how he was born. But see, it doesn't matter what you did, and that's what I was trying to get across on Sunday, is it returning to Eden. What matters is that you're listening to the character of God and what he intends over you. That's what matters. It should not be a sin issue. It should be a righteous delight issue, that God can delight in you because you are doing what you were created to do. And if your reality is in your way, then it will stand clearly, straight, completely in the way of the anointing, because the anointing is supernatural. Your reality is not. Spiritual warfare needs to be understood in the context of God's purpose, not our purpose. There was a man, I forget his name, but he wanted to go to Egypt. He really wanted to go to Egypt and be a missionary, and he signed up and he did it and he went. Well, they stopped in China for a bit. He gets real sick. He saved people from his sick bed in China. And then he died. And people say, well, he missed the mark and God wasn't faithful. But the point is, he was always supposed to go to China, but he hated the Chinese. He was Jonah. So he would have never gone to China. He could not hear God tell him to go to China. But he died there. And before he died there, he ministered to people as he was trapped in his bed. Other people went to Egypt. People he saved, they went to Egypt, but he never did. Paul wanted to go to Rome so bad, you remember. He was desperate to go. He didn't imagine he'd go like he did. He thought he'd go able-bodied and, you know, full checkbook and disciples and hell. He'd like do crusades. No, he went there, but he went there in chains. And he went there in prison. But he still went there. So God's faithful no matter what. He still went, but it didn't look like what he thought it would look like. And this is the hill that people die on when it comes to warfare and the anointing. If it doesn't look like what they think it should look like, they quit. They just quit. And there's no quitting. That's not an option. If God said you're going to be healthy and you get sick, well, the only thing that's left for you to do is kick harder. There ain't nothing left for you to do. Are you supposed to say God's not faithful? No. God's saying, I wanted to watch the devil get beat up, and man, I knew you could kick, so I sent him by your way. What are you doing? Get up. He's like the coach in the ring, wiping off the blood, covering the teeth, stitching the eye. Get back out there. And when we refuse, then we forget is just around the corner is the deliverance of all those bad things. And we're falling into the goodness of the Lord. But people often don't look at it that way. I said this before at one point, I'm sure. The difference between deliverance and spiritual warfare is that deliverance is dealing with demonic bondages and getting somebody set free. Deliverance involves the breaking of legal grounds, the tearing down of strongholds. It's an offensive, warring position. It deals with the casting out of demons, maybe generational curses, territorial things. You don't have to call them out, nor do you need to know them. You just need to know Jesus is greater. And Jesus gets in there and does the work. Because if you start calling something out that you don't know what you're doing, and there's 10 different kinds of demons, and you call one, only one's got to go. You just made a fatal error. You don't do that. Anything that comes against the Spirit of God and has not been sent by God is what you send out of a person. Oh, now the devil, you know, he likes to give you the idea, like you'll feel they have terrible fear in their life. So you'll start coming against the spirit of fear. That's a fool's move. You do that, you're wrong. Because that's the only spirit you're going to get rid of. The devil is a listener. He's a very good listener. In fact, he listens better than we do. I think he hears God talking to us before we do. And he creates a plan to prevent us before we even get to it. Is why there's some rules we have to follow to stay safe. Because by design, we get distracted. And we, you know, we shouldn't. So calling out specific demons, and you may feel it. Oh, I feel fear. Well, maybe you're feeling the fear they had of coming up here. And it's not a spirit of fear. It's just plain old ordinary human fear. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they're concerned. Maybe you made their blood pressure go up. Couldn't have been me. Maybe it was you. But maybe they do have fear. Or maybe they got rid of it before they came. Or maybe it's trying to get them. Maybe it's a fume of a thing. It's not a thing. It's trying to come. Or it did come before. But you calling it out like that is tough. Because now, if they got rid of it, now they feel like they have it back. And now you've gotten them involved in a situation that they can't handle. And guess what? Neither can you. You're pulling stuff up. They think, well, I have a spirit of this. And then you get the goofy people that I have the spirit of Jezebel. I have a snake spirit. I've got a python spirit. Okay, really? You don't have those things. You think that you're that special, that God's creating weird stuff for you? It doesn't work like that. The devil's the devil, and the Lord's the Lord. There's black and there's white. You start creating the colors of the rainbow between black and white, you're going to find that you are just going to get yourself in trouble. There was a pastor and his wife sent me a video of this woman who was clearly possessed, and they had five or six people hold her down for 3 or 4 hours. And she's making all kinds of bad manifestations. Things are happening. And they send me the video. And they said, what did we do wrong? I said, well, you did everything wrong. Because you didn't believe going in that Jesus could fix it. Because you got 4 or 5 people jumping on this person. You didn't know what you were doing. You shouldn't have touched it. You stirred everything up. And now the person feels like a fool. See, that's the situation. That's a living, breathing human being. You shouldn't make them feel like a fool afterwards. You should protect them. And so I said, this is what you do. So maybe she'll come back. Well, the next day she did come back. And they sent me a new video. And the video said 3 minutes flat. They prayed for her. She got delivered. Down she went. She was out for an hour. She got up completely set free. She came in from, her mother was from Haiti. She was full of voodoo. The devil wants you to be worried about him. I'm going to be worried about you because you're screaming and yelling. No, you're going to be quiet because I told you to, and I have Jesus in me, and you don't get to own the room. But if I start saying, you spirit of fear, I command you, someone tell me what's wrong with that. Right? All I'm going to get is a spirit of fear. And then I'll tell you what happens next. A little baby, what I call giveaway demons, they'll come out. And you'll feel it. You'll feel this movement in the spirit. You'll just feel like, wow. Man, people say, did you feel that? Yeah, they totally got set free. And they fall out usually, you know. They'll fall over. And then they'll start saying, praise God, I'm free. Well, that's a stronghold demon talking to you about 85% of the time, trying to convince you they're free. But all you did was empower that stronghold who gave up that spirit of fear, you know, just gave it up, threw it under the bus, didn't care. C- because there's 10 stronger in there. And that person leaves, and they never can overcome. And they don't quite know why. They can never get the job done in Christianity. And they don't know why, because they think they were set free. Because an idiot dealt with them. And maybe they don't have any fear, but with all the other guys, fear will come back eventually. And you see that. There was a woman over here not long ago, and she was on the ground, and she was crying. And it was fake, all fake crying. And I sat down in the chair, and I said, well, I'm not getting down there. You know, I can roll around on the ground with her. She can get up. And somebody said, well, she's rejoicing. And I said, no, she's not. She's not. She's crying. She's happy she got set free. She said, no, she's not. She's mocking God right there. She's pretending that she got set free, but she didn't. People said, well, I understand that you felt something. But you need to repent that you looked with your reality and felt with what you could understand and not what God was willing to show you. And when the anointing is on you, you'll know the difference between what God's showing you and what you're showing yourself. And you're saying, yeah, but how do I? I'm going to tell you something. Whatever Jesus does is always 100% beautiful. He is beautiful. He can start a war and shed blood, and it will be beautiful. When someone's laying there and has a weird laugh, it's not beautiful. And you could just figure it out because it's not beautiful. Even if somebody is being told, you're going to hell, that's beautiful because they have a lifeline to get out. God passes that out. It's always beautiful. Brownsville Revival got out of hand. It should have shut down after maybe 2 weeks, and it didn't. It went on forever. Years ago, Brownsville, where is that? Florida. It went nutty. The flesh got in. The devil got in. People were interviewing others who had these weird Hindu spirits on them. Every kind of religion was inside that meeting. They were passing out these false spirits. It was horrible. People were walking like this, like they have Parkinson's. They couldn't handle themselves. They couldn't go to work. They couldn't, you know, handle their family. They couldn't do anybody. And the TV camera's interviewing them, saying, so like, why are you doing that? What's the deal? Total flesh person. I mean, it's a great question. It's not a spiritual convention. It was a television crew. And they said, oh, this just happens whenever I feel the spirit of the Lord, this happens. And the guy says, so if you don't feel the spirit of the Lord, you can function? Well, yeah. So you to be full of God, you got to be like that? I had a guy like that in one of my meetings. And he came to the line, and I said, sir, you need to stop doing that. Just quit it. And he said, well, it's how God manifests in me. I said, no, it isn't. It's ugly. See? Shaking is not ugly. But the way that guy was doing it was ugly because it was the devil. I say, stop doing that. You keep doing that, you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your kids, you're going to lose everything. He said, well, my wife already left me. My kids think I'm a weirdo. My boss said if I'm late one more time, I'll lose my job. I said, I'm sure. But this is how God, I said, I'll tell you what, let's have a little test. I'm going to touch you, I'll pray for you, and all that's going to stop. It's all going to go away. And then 2 minutes later, it'll come back, and you can tell me which one you like. That's exactly what happened. And he began to cry, beautiful tears, and said, I haven't had peace for years. Thank you. I haven't had peace. He had gone to Bethel. Of course he did. He had gone to these weird New Apostolic Reformation movement places, and he got full of these weird spirits, and he was ruining his life. And I said, well, would you like to denounce those works that you've embraced now? And he said, no, because I really feel special with this. I said, then I'm inviting you to leave. And he left. Pride of life is a deception of the eye, right? He wanted to be special. Well, what part of spirituality is ever going to make you special? It's going to make you get used up, persecuted, all the horrid things you can imagine, and then it's going to make you wonderful. But if Jesus suffered to learn obedience, then why do people think they can just eat the whipped cream and not get a bellyache? Why do they think they don't have to eat the veggies? Why do they think these things? I don't know, but they do. And so in issues of warfare, if you have problems, they will get in the way of what God's trying to do with you. So you can't allow them. You can't allow any of them. Because first, God will take you to the place of understanding, and then you'll dive into the place of misunderstanding, and he'll pull you out and bring you to the place of love, and you'll find yourself in the place of hate. And then he'll bring you out to the place of belief, and you'll get all confused, and you'll dive into the place of doubt. We do it to ourselves. He doesn't mandate it over us, but he knows we're on this world. So if things aren't going so good, that's all right. He's going to pull you out. It's going to be okay. And pretty soon, you make fewer and fewer mistakes as time goes by, as we have known. Now, warfare is resisting, that's what it is. It's resisting, it's overcoming, and it's defeating the enemy's lies. His lies come in the forms of deception, temptation, and accusations that he sends our way. So we have to be able to resist the enemy. And you know, that's not a, resisting the enemy is not a running away thing. That is a position where you go forward. You're attacking. You're not running away. That resist means to attack. That's how you have to resist the enemy. Temptations, deceptions, and accusations. If the enemy can get you thinking these things, then you will not understand the reality of Christ. You'll understand your own reality. You know that lady I spoke of, the extremely short, round woman who was calling me more round. In that day, I was able to really help her. She was suicidal. Her pastor shut the church down. Her husband died. She needed help. And why me? I hadn't seen her for 10 years. So I was able to help her. She received help. But the conversation was started with her picking on my flesh. Do you understand how that looks? Let's pick on her flesh. Let's get her knocked down. Let's get her put. Doesn't affect me because I don't care. So it didn't hit me. Those arrows don't hit me. They go over here to the side. So I could say, well, I sure do appreciate you being you caring about my appearance. How wonderful. And I could love her into the kingdom and help her, even though my outer man is saying, don't help her. She's a jerk. No, she's not a jerk. She's being who she was. Some people respond to pain and wound miserably, just miserably. And she was responding miserably. You have to know the nature and the character of the enemy. He is not gonna let it go. But you have to come to the place where you and I have to come to the place where I understand I'm the one in charge. You're the one in charge because Christ is in you. You don't have to take it, but you could, you know. You could take it if it's for the betterment of the kingdom. You have to walk in these victories on a daily basis by understanding who the enemy is. He's come to get you in maybe the smallest ways. He can't get you to rob a bank. Am I talking about you being perfect? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying the thing that you know could clip you. That's the thing. There was somebody that I used to just want them to come to the meetings so bad. I would preach 10 minutes from their house, you know, and they just wouldn't come. They were in my family, and they just wouldn't come, and it was kind of sad, you know, for me. And then I realized, why do you care? See, you shouldn't care that much. Anything that's going to pierce your heart, you gave it too much power. So I sat them down, and I said, I want to tell you something. I uninvite you. I love you, but I don't want you to have the pressure of coming. It's too much for you, and I want to uninvite you. And they began to cry, and they said, I just can't take it. The way God uses you is, I can't take it. I can't handle it. It's too real. It's too hot. I can't do it. But I love you. Totally set me free. Because I had to be honest with them, and I had to be willing to let them be free. Like, I'm not hanging on you coming. I'm not hanging on that. See, if the Lord doesn't deliver you of your trouble, then you'll bring trouble to somebody else. These are the three primary things the devil will have to use against you that I've spoken before. I'm not going to take the time to go into it, but it's the deception and it is the temptation. Those are the things: deception, temptation, and accusation. He will accuse you. The Bible says in Revelation 12:10 that he is the accuser of the brethren. He'll accuse you over and over of stuff you didn't do. And he'll bring up stuff that you did but God covered. And he'll do it all the time to get you handicapped. Well, that's who you are. No, that's not who you are. That's what you did. But that doesn't mean that's who you are. We have to constantly ask ourselves, what is God's context here? What is God wanting to do? If I'm living in the garden, if that's where I am, then nothing is sin there. I have to be completely in tune with God. And whatever is going to bother God should bother me. Whatever is going to offend God should offend me. And we don't do that because we're tangled up with all of the error. It's not about us, it's about God's desire. And that's in the very beginning when we started the RC and you wanted prayer meetings and I said, no, you can't have a prayer meeting because you'll sit in there and gossip about people is all you're gonna do. And they need prayer, they need prayer. Some of you were there for that. And after a couple years, remember Gary? Then we're like, okay, we'll let you have prayer meeting. You guys couldn't hang for nothing. You didn't even know what a prayer meeting was. You're laying on the ground crying and then going to sleep, and I'm kicking you, you know, making you wake up, and I locked the doors. I said, you people wanted a prayer meeting, you're going to pray. And you're not going to ask God for one thing. You're going to ask God for this thing. What do you want? What's your desire, Lord? That's the only thing we care about. What's your desire? We didn't get to ask for us. What's your desire? And that became the foundation of this place. What is God's desire? And when you're in love with the Lord that way, nothing really bothers you. Because you can just keep taking it because he's with you. He's with you. I mean, they're cutting my leg open. I'm like, man, you feel that, Lord? Doesn't that hurt? He's like, yeah, but I got a story about something that hurt worse. I go, yeah, I bet you do. He goes with you. He goes before you. He's hanging out after you. He's carrying you as you go. And if you're too heavy for him, he will just find a wheelbarrow. Do not worry. He can handle every ounce of you. I want to talk about, what time is it? 7:23. Oh, okay. We're about done. I'm going to Concerning distractions, I want to read this really quick. It's joy of the Lord. This is to delight in God and to trust God. When you have the joy of the Lord in your life, you are a delight to others because God delights in you. Hebrews 12:1 is what I want you to read. Study that. You cannot have that in your life if you're easily distracted and walk around carrying a sin that's too heavy for you. So as we go forward fasting one thing a day, just some, even a small thing, every day, fast one thing, you develop this sense that your flesh isn't in charge. You know, the body's a spoiled brat from the second it's born, even before it's born. How many pregnant women can say that little sucker controlled my whole life? Yeah. Because the baby wants to live. The baby doesn't understand things of the spirit. The baby cries when it needs something. We're taught, cry and you'll get what you need. Not a bad thing. Except if you're 40, it's not good then. And so we've conditioned ourselves to get what we want, to get what we want. And when you do the smallest amount of fasting, what you do is you tell yourself, you're a spoiled brat, you're not getting that. You're not going to get that because we're going for the things of the Spirit. Time goes by, even years go by, and you find yourself living a life that is automatically inclined to hear God. It's automatically hearing what God would say and knowing what God would do. Amen. We're going to do Luke 15 next month and get into that. I want to get into some dominion and authority real quick. Also going forward, then I want you to give me topics about what you want to study, and we'll bring them up, and we'll get through them together. So send me those emails. Any questions about tonight? Father, I thank you. Thank you for a group of people, Lord, that are fervent. Lord, they are devoted to your causes, Father. Lord, I ask you to shield us and protect us, Father, from our own foolishness, Lord, and from the wiles of the enemy, as your word does say, O God. Lord, take these, your people, into the place, Father, where they have not been before, Lord. To the place, Father, where they will wake up crying for the needs of others and being concerned about your own heart, Lord. Father, we care about you. We have needs, but those are not our concern today, Lord. Your needs are our concern. I ask you, Lord, to protect yourself among us. Don't let us hurt you, Lord. Don't let us hurt you. Keep us tender before you, Father. Keep us strong and tender at the same time at your feet, Lord. You are our strength and your joy abounds in us, God. Keep our hearts innocent and hopeful, Lord, in all good things concerning you. Amen. Praise God for you.
You have been listening to the Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.